From the Farm Progress Show in Decatur, Illinois, I'm Todd Gleason. This is the closing market report from Illinois Public Media. Thanks for being along with us this afternoon for this live program. We hope you stay with us for the whole half hour. We'll have another great action-packed half hour right here on the closing market report. Each and every day of this event has been a really good event. If you have not made it to the Farm Progress Show ever before, I urge you to go next year to Boone, Iowa. Just remember, this program moves each and every other year from Decatur, Illinois to Boone, Iowa. Next year will be at the Farm Progress Show. It's usually the last week of August, and that means whatever the last day happens to be in August and the middle 3 days of the week. Hopefully next year you'll be able to make it out to Boone, Iowa. Here the way the numbers settled in Chicago on this Thursday afternoon. September futures in the wheat pit, a 451 and a quarter settlement price, down 5 3/4. December contract at 478 3/4, 7 cents lower. And the March futures at 498 1/2, down 6 3/4. May contract at $5.11, down 7 on the afternoon. September corn today, $3.11, settlement price 2 1/4 lower. The December contract at 315 3/4, down 3 1/2. And the March futures at 329, down 3 1/2 cents. May contract 338 1/4, 3 1/4 lower. And July corn, 346 1/2, down 3 1/4. From the soy complex, nearby September beans, a $9.82 settlement price, down 27 1/4 on the day. November contract, 941 1/2, down 9 1/2. And the January futures at 945 1/2, down 8 3/4. March futures, 946 1/4, down 7 3/4. In the May contract in the soybean pit, $9.44, down 7 1/2. July at 946 1/2, down 8 1/2 for the afternoon. And the August contract at $9.39, down 9 1/2 cents. September soybeans, 9.17 lower. September soybean meal at $3.22.40, down $26.10. And the October bean meal at $2.92.20, down $8.10. September soybean oil for the day, $34.08, down 4. October at $34.25, 5 lower. And the live cattle pit from the CME Group, livestock side, $86.72 1/2, a nickel lower on the day. December futures at $86.67 1/2, down 12 1/2 cents, and the September feeder cattle at $98.50, a dollar lower. October futures at $98.37 1/2, down 12 1/2 cents on this Thursday afternoon. October lean hog futures for 100 pounds, $49.77 1/2. They finished 95 cents higher. December futures at $47.65, up 80 cents on the day. Just a quick reminder to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. The closing market report, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. $67.96. Settlement price for the October crude oil futures, 9 cents lower. November at $68.55. down 13. Ethanol contract, $1.58 7/10, down 1 3/10 on the afternoon. Natural gas at $2.51 4/10, 20 1/10 cents lower. And the RBOB gasoline, that's $1.79 1/2, down 1 3/10. Heating oil, that's diesel fuel, $1.73 7/10, 1 2/10 lower. The propane futures, 9 2/10 higher at 94 1/10 cents. And finally, the gold contract, $995.80. $19.20 an ounce higher. That is a settlement price. The Dow now at 9,285, just about 4 points higher on the day. And the U.S. dollar at 78.46 is up 0.09. The CRB index for the afternoon at 248.74, that's down 0.89. And the Goldman Sachs at 440.36 is down 2.08 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own Ed Keezer. He says tonight in the north and central sections, clear to partly cloudy. In the south, mostly cloudy, a few scattered showers, some thunderstorms. Lows will range from 48 in northeastern Indiana to 60 in the far south. That's for tonight. And then tomorrow, in the north and central sections, mostly sunny skies. In the south, partly sunny, a few isolated showers, some thunderstorms possible. Highs tomorrow will range from 78 near Lake Michigan to 83 in the south. And the extended forecast says scattered showers, a few thunderstorms possible in southern portions of Illinois and Indiana again on Saturday. Most of the production areas in the two-state remaining dry, says Ed. Scattered showers and thunderstorms possible through that two-state area Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday as well. While some localized downpours are possible, Ed says rainfall amounts and the duration of the rain will likely remain low in most of those areas. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. It is a Thursday afternoon. Agricultural programming made possible by Lernard Seed Service. It's an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides service to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270. On stage with us here at the Farm Progress Show is Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He joins us each and every Thursday afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Dan. Good to have you live on the stage with us.
Hi, Todd. Glad to be here.
Well, let's talk about the marketplace. Boy, we've heard a lot from our farmers that they're awful scared that the crop's not going to make it to maturity. And if it does or doesn't, I suppose we'll have a whole different marketplace. But if it does, they'd like to know what kind of price they might get out of that. What do you see this week?
Well, that's kind of a double-edged sword because we still need upwards of 4 weeks in a way to get this crop mature in many areas. There are some areas that would probably like to see us go all the way into maybe late October to kind of get it mature, especially when you get here in central and southern Illinois and Indiana where you have some super late crops. I think, you know, basically this is what the market kind of reacted to this week with our private crop estimates. This morning we had an estimate, I think 162 bushels on the corn, maybe.
From FC Stone this morning.
From FC Stone. I think Infoma Economics also came out with something around 162. I think they came out with maybe like same as what USDA has been projecting at 41.7. If those yields are realized, I think the corn's probably in the most trouble because that would definitely increase a supply of grain that we would probably have some downward pressure to go down and take out last year's low, which is down around that 190, and then we'll see how much demand. Now, all of the fundamental guys tell me that there's loads of demand underneath this market, but at the moment, they're waiting to see how big this crop is and how low it goes before they really step forward on it.
One little technical note as I look at the daily chart for the harvest month, it shows me that we had an outside down day. Anything to worry about with that?
Technically there's not a lot to be positive with on the market. The only thing I would say on the corn market, for those of us that remember the days when we were trading mostly $2 and we would go up into the low threes for a season high, many times the 310, 312, 314, 315 stopped the rally. This is where we're at right now, so we're kind of back now into support area from a historical perspective, and we'll have to see how that holds out. My guess is it's going to hold in here for a few days. I still think the trade is very jittery about an early end to the growing season. Depending upon which weather forecaster you visit with, today's models are indicating that we're going to have the doors are going to open up for a pretty good cold snap a couple weeks down the road here.
17th and 18th.
And we'll have to see how that plays. Forecasts will change from model to model and from day to day. But I imagine that the trade's going to start biting its fingernails really bad next week.
You know, the first of the month has come and gone. There was a lot of corn that was on DP. When we checked with the grain elevators, basically they said, hey, we had that sold. And then it came to the first of the month, and because it was DP, most farmers probably went ahead and dumped their contracts. So we've got empty grain elevators, I think, because I don't know. I think they've sold and moved it. We've checked some. So the question for you is, and you work for an end user, so you can tell me what you think about this one, but will the end users be in need of corn prior to the time that harvest really happens? Because we've got from now until, I don't know, maybe October 5 to really get things started.
No, and that's what that's why the corn market is bumping down along the late July lows, haven't been able to kind of respond to the supply tightness that we see in the soybean market. You know, we do have 1.6 billion bushel we're carrying over. Granted, harvest is going to be late, but that 1.6 billion is going to keep The end user pretty well supplied with old crop inventory until new crop begins to come in. And some of this new crop is starting to come in, especially in the southern areas. Our Helena elevator in Helena, Arkansas, is taking in beans and corn. So we do see some crop coming in from the when you get south of Tennessee.
A quick word on soybeans before I let you go for the afternoon.
Soybeans is all about making the making the yield that USDA says we have out there and the length of the growing season. Anything shortened growing season, I think, is going to make soybeans very explosive over the next 30 days or so.
Dan, thanks so much.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group. Give him a nice round of applause here at the Farm Progress Show. We appreciate you being with us, Dan. He joins us each and every Thursday afternoon. By the way, support for Illinois Public Media comes from Syngenta. It features AgriSure 3000 GT hybrids designed to give you up to 38 bushels more per acre if you have rootworms, and an average of three more even if you don't. More information on Syngenta's AgriSure 3000 GT hybrids is at agrisuretraits.com. On stage with us here from the Farm Progress Show for the Closing Market Report, Assistant Dean in the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences. His name is Bill Simmons. Hi, Bill. How are you?
Fine. Thank you, Todd. Nice
hey,
to be here.
Bill is a former soil specialist, right?
That's correct.
You did all the tillage work. Now you're doing deep tillage work, trying to bring fresh recruits into the College of ACES.
That's right. Good analogy. We're always looking for top
or
students.
Or bad analogy, but go with
it's
it.
It's an analogy. Let's just leave it like that. We're looking for good students. We're out there hoping to bring top talent into the college, recruiting and asking for the top people to take a good look at us.
Well, and that's one of the things you're here at the Farm Progress Show, and it reminds me of while the Farm Progress Show is wrapping up that it's that first contact that really makes a big difference sometimes in a recruit's life and the university life with that recruit as to whether they come to the U of I. How important is that first touch for you as an individual with the student in making sure that they come to the U of I campus in Champaign-Urbana?
It's very important. We like to make a good first impression and get an opportunity to get some of our programs out in front of prospective students. And I think that one of the messages we're bringing to people is the breadth of our programs. We have a variety of programs. We're always changing, adding new things. Our Agricultural Consumer Economics Department has some new offerings that are very attractive to students. And we're always changing and trying to tell people about the things that we have in addition to some of the basic agricultural, well-known academic programs that we've offered for a number of years.
Tell me about the breadth of that list. What kinds of things do you see from one side of the production spectrum to the other side of the food chain?
Well over 10 years ago, we modified the name of the college to better reflect our broadening look at things with the consumer economics and the environmental science as well. We have a real competitive, outstanding program in food science and human nutrition, and we're getting students that are interested in dietetics, people that are interested in really good careers going out into the actual food science industry where they learn how to manufacture products that people find palatable and are nutritious. In agricultural consumer economics, we have a new financial planning program that's very, very attractive and bringing in some top students.
The students who didn't make it here, the parents who didn't come out and see you at the Farm Progress Show site, how do they make that contact now?
Well, we're around. We go around to various venues. There's one way to get the personal contact. We have a big kind of marquee event that occurs usually the first or second weekend in March called Explore ACES. It's run by a number of our undergraduate students, a chance to come to campus and see some of our programs there. In addition to that, you know, today's students and parents have got computer savvy and we're online. They can get on the University of Illinois website and actually plan a visit and come down and meet with us. And our doors are always open to families and prospective students that want to come in and learn more about our programs.
Bill Simmons, of course, is an assistant dean at the University of Illinois. Thanks, Bill, for being with us. And if you'd like more contact information about the College of ACES, you can always visit aces.illinois.edu. Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated. They're headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmersville, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. providing independent commodity financial and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. www.myrmconline.com. That's myrmconline.com. Speaking of online, on stage with us this afternoon, Andy Montgomery. He's the National Sales Manager at one of our other sponsors, AgriGold. Thanks for being with us today. And up front, I want to thank you and all the AgriGold folks for hosting our Illinois Public Media Ag Panel Outlooks, where we had most of our market analysts and Dave Dickey, the Director of Ag Programming, with us each of these past 3 days. I know Dave appreciates it, and the folks that come in and do those panels, the Jackie Vakes of the world, the Greg Johnsons of the world, of course, ADM's own Dan Zwicker, and it makes a difference for us. I hope it helped you out, too.
Oh, it's been fantastic this year, Todd, and we really appreciated you spending some time with us and our customers, and I know the people coming through really appreciated what the message you guys had this year.
Okay, we've talked the past couple of days with AgriGold folks about the kinds of products you have. Tell me about, since you mentioned it, customer service.
Well, you know, one thing we do at AgriGold, and kind of an external theme that we've talked about this year throughout the year, has been the idea of corn 360 degrees. And at AgriGold, all we do is corn. And we think corn is extremely complex this year, all the way down to the planning of it, to the marketing. And we think there's three key points to producing a good corn crop, and that's really the genetics, the agronomics, and the specialists behind that crop. So when you think about it, we think the base genetics, you've got to start with the base genetics. It's extremely important today that farmers look at the genetics and make sure they're planting the right fit on their farm. And then also agronomics, everything from 20-row corn to 20-inch corn to fungicides to seed applications. And then we think the final key to that whole, from genetics to agronomics, is really the specialist, having that right person to put it all together and make sure you have a successful corn crop.
Tell me about the relationship that you have with the customer and the market products that you try to provide to them.
Well, you know, the key is our corn specialists, all they do is corn. Day in and day out, they train year-round to produce and to sell and to help our growers grow the absolute best crop they can, because we know there's an extreme amount of complexities in the corn business this year. So just being able to sit down, go field by field, go product by product is really what our corn specialists do to help our growers out in the field.
Anything else that we want to talk about before I let you go?
You know,
go
really
for the
just one final thing to kind of mention our giant products. I think
oh,
we've
I've
seen
forgotten about that. Sure,
the banner ahead. That's flown around the farm show this year, and we've had a lot of fun with it. But we've got three products that we're really excited about is the AgriGold giant products that are out in the field this fall.
Yeah, I heard that banner is enormous. 44
that's
by
40
100.
Foot by 100 foot banner, the size of a pole barn. It's kind of hard to imagine how big it is up in the sky.
And it talks about the giants. Those are all the brand new kinds of hybrids that you have. And you say there are three reasons that they're giants. What are they?
Well, the giants are, you know, the genetics, the agronomics, and the specialists behind that. And we're really excited about those three products this fall.
And if you want to learn more, of course, they can visit agrigold.com.
Yes, sir.
Thank you much, Andy.
Thanks, Todd.
Andy Montgomery, he's the National Sales Manager at AgriGold. Give him a hand. Thank you. Speaking of which, the closing market report made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming. As an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area, AgriGold, the corn specialist. More information at agrigold.com, 800-262-7333. You are listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. Don't forget to visit our website. The address for that one is willag.org. On the line with us here at the stage this afternoon is Joel Reedy. He's from Dalton City, where he's a farmer with us. Good afternoon to you, Joel.
Good afternoon.
Well, you're on stage with us along with the folks from financial agribusiness underwriter John. How do you pronounce your last name, John?
Just like you fall down.
Oh, that's what I thought. John Fall. So they're here to talk a little bit about insurance and the kinds of things that are happening at Country. You're here to tell me what you've done. First, I need to talk to you a bit about your farm. And we've got some time. So you're in Dalton City, Illinois. This is one of those areas I drove through in just about June 5th to the 12th. I don't know whether you had even started on the 5th with your corn planting. How are you doing at this point?
Well, I'd say right now we're probably 30 to 40 days behind. We didn't even start plant corn this year until May 11th and 12th. Then we'd take about a week break. We'd go again about May 20th, two or three more days, and then take another break. We finished up on the corn planting June 1st, and then put all of our beans in the ground by the 5th of June.
Yeah.
So we're about 30 days behind.
So you're a long way behind. Yeah, I bet you're worried about the frost.
Yeah, we are. They keep talking about it here the last month or two, and the summer being cooler like it was. So, you know, I hope September's warm like it has been the last 3 days here.
It's warm in here this afternoon. It finally warmed up. Those clouds went away this afternoon. You're on stage with us to talk about insurance and the importance of insurance on your farm. There are some things, I understand, crop insurance. You probably got a biotech trait insurance, too. Tell me about all those things.
Well, something that my agent had offered. I think Country Financial started it last year with the biotech endorsement. You can't go wrong planting triple stack corn this year. So if Country Financial and all the other insurance companies are offering a biotech endorsement, I think that's something everybody needs to look at and sign up for it. And it makes your cost per acre a little cheaper also.
And John Fault, the agribusiness underwriter, is with us too. John, we talked to him a little bit about the lateness of the crop. Of course, we're talking about crop insurance. Can you get an idea what claims are looking like at this point, what producers need to be on the lookout for?
I think what the main thing the producers need to be on the lookout for, because I think the crop's going to be spotty. I think you're going to have some good crops on one side of the road, bad crops on the other, depending on when the crop got in. The main thing that the producers need to be aware of is if they have a good yield, crop insurance protects not only yield but prices. So if they have a good yield, as volatile as these prices have been, if the price goes down, we were looking at 404 on the corn for a base price. If it's quite a bit below that and you have an average or below average yield, you're going to have a claim. So just because you have a good yield doesn't mean you don't have a claim.
Yeah, go through that again. So what does a farmer need to watch out for in order on their crop insurance to come in and see you and talk to their agents?
What a farmer needs to do, he needs to make sure that he has his records, his yield records, and that's basically all he needs. If he has his production and yield records, he can take those into his financial rep or his crop specialist, and they can sit down and figure out if he or she has a claim.
All right, thanks so much. Anything else that we need to discuss with you on what kind of claims you've been seeing already?
A lot of prevent plant claims. Early in the season had some replant claims, but a lot of prevent plant claims, and if we have this drop in price, we're going to have some production claims.
Yeah, so the prevent plant, were they higher than usual this year?
I think so. I don't have an exact percentage, but I would say absolutely.
All right, thanks so much. We appreciate you being with
us,
John.
Thank you.
John Fall is an agribusiness underwriter, Country Financial, and, of course, Joel Reedy from Dalton City. He's a farmer there. Give them a hand for coming up and talking to us here on the Closing Market Report. Agricultural programming made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois have been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers. Well, we're wrapping up our day here at the Farm Progress Show. Thanks so much to all those folks who have come out and seen us over these last 3 days at the AgriGold tent. Thanks, too, especially for Dave Dickey, who is the technical director for the radio side of this program and running the board. Thanks to Dave for that. And in-house Steve Parker, who is my partner over in the College of Agricultural and Consumer and Environmental Sciences, a videographer. If you happen to catch me on TV most of the time, you might hear my voice, but you see all the video that Steve takes. He's the one that makes all of that look good, and it's important to us from the college that it happens properly. Steve does the job. Thanks, Steve, for all the work. He's been my partner there since 1994. In just about 2 minutes, we'll be back, and we're going to talk a little bit about baseball. Stay with us. You are listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a production of the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. Governor Pat Quinn says he's ready to name the five remaining members of the University of Illinois Board of Trustees. The board was left with openings after most trustees quit amid the admission scandal that rocked the school. During an appearance in Joliet today, Quinn says he intends to announce his picks tomorrow, so a full board is in place for a meeting next Thursday in Urbana. Quinn won't say if any of the trustees who voluntarily resigned will be reappointed, but he says he'll look at everybody. Quinn last week named Chicago businessman Christopher Kennedy and former federal prosecutor Lawrence Oliver to two of the posts. Quinn says he doesn't think the two board members who refused his call to resign would be marginalized on the new board. The Democratic advantage on the Champaign County Board could be changing as two mainstays in the party won't seek re-election next year. Barb Wysocki calls District 9 a swing district that could go either way, but says support has been outstanding from Democrats, Republicans, and Independents. She has served 12 years, while Steve Beckett from the same district has served 10. He tells the News Gazette that he ran for the board expecting to maintain partisanship, but says he didn't fit well in that setting. Democrats presently hold a 15-12 majority on the county board. The CEO of Champaign County's United Way says there's an alarming number of homeless school-age children in the area's population. Lynn Jones says those 300 youth are a large part of the agency's focus, launching its $3.1 million fundraising campaign for the year. Jones says one real problem is the lack of shelters for homeless families, noting most local agencies are aimed solely at men or women and their children. The agency last night held its own poverty simulation to give volunteers an idea of what it's like to be on a fixed income. Jones says about 20% of the county's population falls into that category. The head of the U of I's professional MBA program says they'll find room for three prospective students who have been hit hard by the recession. The College of Business is awarding two scholarships to people in central Illinois who have lost jobs, hours, or training opportunities because of the sour economy. A third full ride is available for a Champaign County resident who's employed but can't afford continuing education because their employer is no longer offering assistance. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Market Report. It's a Thursday afternoon. We're at the Farm Progress Show as things wrap up on this third day in Decatur, Illinois. Well, thanks for being with us this afternoon on the stage with us here at the University of Illinois tent. Tricia Braid Terry from the Illinois Corn Growers Association. Hi, Tricia. How are you today?
I'm great, Todd. How are
corn
you?
Corn growers had a good week out here, 3 days.
We did have a great 3 days, and today we have some special guests that we're bringing out to Farm Progress Show, folks from the Normal Corn Belters baseball team, professional baseball making its way into McLean County at the Heartland Community College campus. And when they decided to be called the Corn Belters, Illinois Corn took a little bit of interest, and we're looking into some opportunities to partner with this baseball team and see what we can do for them and what they can do for us.
It'll be interesting to see what develops over the coming months, and I know
certainly
we'll talk to you more about that as the time develops. The Corn Belters, Kyle Krieger is here. He's the Director of Ticket Sales and Assistant General Manager. Hi, Kyle. Good afternoon.
How you doing?
So why does Bloomington Normal McLean County need a professional baseball team? Now, the folks that listen to me regularly know that Kurt Kimmel and I on Mondays usually talk about our boys and the baseball they play, but this is a little higher, age group than what we're used to. So why is it that McLean County needs a professional ball team?
You know, what the county needs to understand is that in addition to just Corn Belters baseball, there's also going to be various different community events out there. We're talking about possibly having concerts out there. Heartland Community College will play baseball and soccer at the facility. And then also we're even considering drive-in movies as well. So in addition to 48 Corn Belters games starting next May, there'll be a lot of community events going on there, and we hope it's a place where everyone in the community can come and enjoy.
And from the Illinois Corn Growers perspective, I bet you think there's an educational opportunity there, don't you, Tricia?
Certainly. I think more than ever we're aware of the knowledge gap about agriculture between the farmer and the consumer. And we see that in communities as small as Bloomington Normal. And that's not a negative comment in so much as just an observation. It's certainly an opportunity for those of us that are involved in agriculture to really get engaged and start telling our own story, because there's some folks out there that are interested in telling it for us. And I know I'm not real pleased with the story they're telling. So we know what we do. We know about corn. We know about farming. It's time we tell our story, and we're excited to be able to do that to the probably more than 4,300 people on average that'll show up at this ballpark every night for a home game.
All right. Well, thank you very much to Tricia Braid Terry. She's with the Illinois Corn Growers, and Kyle Krieger, he's with the Corn Belters. Next year, you can go out and see them at Heartland Community College. That's right next to Illinois State. So if you want to stop by there and see them, you can. We have just about a minute and 10 seconds left. Greg Johnson is with us from the Anderson, was out here at the Farm Progress Show on a Thursday afternoon. Greg, quick note on basis, what's it like, and your numbers for the afternoon?
Old crop basis on beans has started to fade. Harvest is taking place down south. In fact, there were some beans cut around Mount Vernon, and there must be some beans moving because we've heard the basis out west, which was as high as $2.40 over the November futures, have dropped as much as a dollar today. So That's to be expected. I didn't think it would happen quite this soon, but as soon as harvest starts, basis starts to weaken. Corn basis, which is 20 cents more for old crop than new crop, will start to weaken as well, although it looks like corn harvest still may be 3 or 4 weeks away yet.
And your numbers for the day are?
Cash corn, 317. New crop corn is 297. January delivery, 313. Old crop beans are 1011. New crop beans, 936, and then for January delivery, 931.
Greg Johnson, thanks so much. He's with the Andersons. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.